Welcome to the Safety Podcast, where we connect health, safety and environment to keep you learning, evolving and having a positive impact. Thanks for taking the time to join us for this episode. Let's get started. Hi there, how's it going? I hope you're doing well out there. We have been a bit quiet over the last few weeks, not getting as much production as I would have hoped over this period, but as I'm sure most of you are feeling yourselves, things are just not the same as normal at the moment. There's a lot of ups and downs. Everybody's going through the motions, including myself and everything in the business world. So we have a short podcast for you where we've linked up and networked with someone that's involved in the environmental health and safety space. That's Shona Darley, who is a career environmental health specialist and a freelance expert now who works alongside businesses mainly in hospitality and different industries to help them with environmental health and also health and safety related issues. I managed to catch up with Shona around the start of May for a chat, and unfortunately wasn't able to get this podcast out earlier, but most of this stuff is still very relevant and things haven't moved on that quickly, unfortunately. But obviously, you know, please do take whatever we're talking about here in context of when it was recorded. And obviously any guidance that we touch on may have changed by the time that you listen to this. This is just a means of helping both myself and everyone else, hopefully as well, hear from other people within the health and safety space and their experiences going through this very uncertain time. So let's go over and join Shona here and listen to what she had to say. Thank you, Shona, for coming on to the Safety Podcast to share your experiences with us over the last few weeks. How's things?
Yeah, good. I think like everyone, it's just really, really strange at the moment. It's a lot of my work has sort of ceased, and it's just trying to sort of still engage and just sort of keep up to date, really. It's it's very, very strange being at home all the time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a juggling act, to say the least, isn't it? I think for most of us, the novelty is well and truly worn off by this stage.
Yeah, I'm sort of half enjoying it, but I've got four boys here at home with me, so I think escapism would be quite nice at the moment.
Wow, four. Yeah, I've only two to look after, and that's plenty for me, so it is. only one of them is of school age, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I have to do the school side of things whenever the wee one is in bed sleeping, having her afternoon nap, so that kind of works. Just about. As long as I can be motivated to get the work done, you know. It's nothing to do with my child. Just, so, yeah, I feel your pain. And just for those listening who aren't familiar with yourself, can you give us a bit of a background as to what it is you were doing up until the 18th of March and what you've been up to since?
Yeah, so I'm a food safety and health and safety consultant. My background is I did 20 years of enforcement work with local authorities. I still do some consultancy with local authorities, and I've been working for Publica, which are based in the Cotswolds, so Cotswold District Council, West Oxfordshire, and also doing some work for the Forest of Dean. So I do sort of part-time working for them, and then I've got some consultant some clients that I'm working with doing their health and safety food policies, so risk assessments, that sort of thing, really. So quite a broad spectrum of work, really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We didn't agree to talk about enforcement in this podcast, but we'll see where we end up. Obviously you have a big background in that, and I'm sure as I am, you know, with our own clients as well, sort of thinking about interpreting the guidance that's being published and thinking about what way it's going to work from a regulatory point of view, which is a challenge as well for everyone. So, I mean, obviously, as you were saying, things changed rather dramatically for you, as it did with most of us almost a couple of months ago now. What have you had to do, I guess, you know, in terms of trying to keep things tick over since all of that happened?
Yeah, as I say, a lot of my business, it was like the plug had been pulled on it, really, at the middle of March. So a lot of my clients are food-based. So obviously a lot of them have had to close. Majority of them have had to furlough their staff. Yeah. So a lot of them aren't even trading. Obviously, the enforcement side of it, that stopped as well because I was a consultant. So the guys that I work with, they're still carrying on. So I've been still giving advice over the phone. I've actually written some COVID-19 policies for some new clients, just so that they could still be up and running. So a couple of electricians, so doing some work for them. And I've also then tried to adapt the way that I'm working. So I currently, doing some training, sort of face-to-face training. I'm a registered centre with Highfield Learning, and they produce some really, really good courses. Unfortunately, haven't been able to obviously do the face-to-face stuff. So I'm now set up to be some online training, so e-learning. It's something that I'm, from an enforcement point of view, it sort of ticks the box. It's not something that I feel comfortable in a way sort of producing for clients. I don't think it's the best training resource, but it's a means to an end. And actually, for a lot of people that have been furloughed, it's still being able to keep their hand in. And there's quite a few, you know, that need updating on sort of level two health and safety, food safety, allergen, that sort of training. And it's a really good resource for them. I think anything beyond level two, I don't think it's really the best way to go about training, but it sort of ticks the box, really.
Yeah, as you say, it keeps the wheels spinning and keeps things ticking over for folks. I've seen some instances of concessions being given with things like, passes, like construction safety passes and things like that, extensions to the time limits and so on, been granted, and, you know, within that industry. And what I am seeing, you know, in terms of going back, is across different jurisdictions, if you're working across UK and Ireland, there are disparities and differences in how we're approaching going back, which is going to be a challenge in itself.
Yeah, I think within the local authorities around here, so some were still going out and doing food inspections way after we'd sort of stopped doing them. So that was before the actual sort of major lockdown that we had. As far as reopening, again, I think it's, a lot of my work is going to be looking at how the schools go back. So there's obviously going to be a sort of tiered system that they're looking at the moment. So they're looking at the sort of GCSE A level sort of kids going into them for next year. They'll be going back first. Year six primary school kids could be going back. So one of my clients provides a lot of food for schools. So that'd be really, really good for them. And hopefully then I can get back on site as well and sort of help them prepare for that transition. But I think there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment, especially within the food industry. You know, I really, really feel for, you know, pubs, restaurants, because I think, unfortunately, they are going to be back at, you know, at the back of the list, really. It's going to be really, really difficult for them to sort of keep their businesses going in this really uncertain times. Yeah,
it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult to keep things fair, you know, in terms of phasing things back in. But looking, I mean, notwithstanding any sort of disparities around that, is there anything, or have you had any conversations when it comes to the regulatory side of things in terms of like enforcement from local authorities or, you know, or otherwise? Has there been any conversations around, you know, how much of a leeway or discretion is going to be given when it comes to, you know, letting businesses try and find their feet here?
I think HSC have given out some quite good guidance on, you know, how to go about it. And I think a lot of it is going to be down to risk assessments. So it's how you can still, you know, have people on site, but still keep that social distancing. And I think that's going to be really, really difficult for a lot of businesses. So we are going to be seeing businesses working in different ways. I think that a lot of businesses have managed to keep going with people working from home. And I think this is going to be the new way forward, really. I think that there won't be so many people having to actually go to work on site. But those that have to, I think they are going to have to look at possibly even different shift patterns, you know, reducing the number of people actually working in certain areas. I know that a lot of the fulfillment centres at the moment, a lot of warehouses, they're, you know, they're still working, but obviously at a very, very reduced rate. So the HSE have got guidance out there at the moment, say whether that will be updated once we go down to out of this lockdown and seeing, you know, how people can actually manage it. It's really sort of sitting and waiting and seeing, really.
Yeah, it just seems to, keep evolving, I suppose, as we push forward and understand more about the implications of it. I suppose this whole experience has been, as you said, the start here, very strange for us all, and very much unprecedented for most. Is there anything that you've learned throughout this, or is there any views that you had before that have been maybe confirmed for you as we've moved through this?
I think that for me personally, because I've had sort of a public health experience, so say 20 years plus of working as an environmental health officer, mm-hmm. so I was quite lucky that I was already sort of engaged with the infections and control processing. So that was good for me that I was able to already, sort of talk to clients, educate them, putting plans in place, say writing COVID policies. So I was quite prepared to do that. Whereas I think, some people have been on the back foot. So initially I had sort of quite a lot of the information. I think obviously that information is changing daily now, the public health experts are say changing how they're writing their policies, procedures as we're finding more about the virus itself and how it spreads. I think the main thing really for me has just been this engagement with clients. I've realised that actually they're not just clients, they're actually friends. You do invest a lot in your clients, or I certainly do. And so it's been seeing how I can help them. And say some of them, it's been heartbreaking listening to their stories of, having to furlough staff, whether their business is still going to be there at mm-hmm. the end of it. So it's really, how we can help them. Even just, having a sounding ear sometimes can be good for them, not necessarily giving any practical advice. It's just knowing that somebody else is sort of listening. So for me, the online courses have provided a gap. It's a gap in the market. I'm hoping that, say, I've been delivering those at pretty much cost, so that they're cost to me. I'm not making any money out of it. I don't think it's appropriate for me to be making, money out of it at the moment. But hopefully those people will come back in the future. So I've got a few new clients that have been using those resources. So yeah, it is very, very different, very, very different ways of working.
To give some advice, I suppose, as I was reading a lot of the guidance over the last few days, as we approach, going back into opening up some of the industries that have been shut down, as I was saying to some of my clients, there's no cut and dry guidance to give here. It's constantly evolving. As you're saying, as and when, major public health advice changes, then policies need to be reviewed. And, there's going to be a huge amount of work here for health and safety managers and representatives within companies. Is there any advice that you would give to those people with, with the experience that you have and, across different industries that's going to be affected here? Is there anything that you would, say to them as we approach having to review all that documentation and and rethink how we're doing things?
I think one of the big things going back is going to be looking at health surveillance. So you've probably got some people that are going to be vulnerable going back. So those with respiratory disorders, so people like with asthma, COPD, mm-hmm. even type 2 diabetics, they're all more susceptible to the virus. At the moment, some businesses have said, right, okay, yeah, we're going to furlough you, or some people having to shield. So again, it's looking at those people, I think, and seeing whether it's appropriate that they're going to be on site. So you might not necessarily be providing PPE for everyone, but it might be that for those people in the more vulnerable groups, that you look at providing sort of PPE for those.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree there. I know of quite a few businesses that their first reaction, and as you're saying there's probably the right one, is to try and reduce those that are most vulnerable in terms of the risk that they're exposed to. But also we're going to be challenged with getting those guys in particular back into the workforce along with everyone else, and it might just be a case of prioritizing if you're going to be using PPE to identify who those people are, and as you say, get that health surveillance. If you don't already have it, try and get as much data and detail around who might be most at risk, and then take action on that basis. I think it's definitely a case of picking your battles here, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, one thing doesn't fit all here. I think that, you know, every business is unique, and even, you know, industry wide, there's so many anomalies and to how people are working. So the big thing really is going to be down to risk assessment. And, you know, and I know that there's people out there that have done really, really shoddy risk assessments, and there's people that have done really, really good risk assessments. So I think it's really picking and choosing where you're getting your advice from as well. I think that's going to be really, really important.
And as we're having this discussion today, I think it's really important for us, you know, as people working within health and safety, to support each other through this, because it is quite a daunting task that's going to be in front of us here as well, isn't it? And there's going to be a lot of pressure on.
Oh, completely. And I think that's the beauty of, say, you know, we've linked in together, and it's great having these conversations. And I think that, say, that there aren't experts as such, you know, we're all sort of finding our feet and learning. So it's really, really good to engage with other people and finding out what's working. You know, let's not reinvent the wheel here. Let's share information, share our expertise, and yeah, like you say, support each other along the way.
Super, super. Yeah, I agree with that. Just keep the communication channels open and share as much as we can with each other. It's always good to know the other people are going through the same thing. Shona, thank you for joining me here and giving us a bit of an insight into, you know, what your experience has been so far, and I hope things that can continue to pick up for you as they seem to be now. And we get all those and we get all those hospitality businesses back up and running in the near future. In the meantime, Shona, for anybody who wants to network with you and link up with you, where is the best place for us to find you?
So say I'm Shona Darley on LinkedIn. So if you want to search me there, I'm sure that you'll put a link up with this podcast as well. So it'd be great to link in with like-minded people.
Cool. That's excellent. Thanks again for coming on, and all the best of luck, and do stay in touch.
Thank you. And you take care.
That was it for a short conversation with Shona. And this is a time that I want to just say, we don't have as much time at the moment to record and publish the podcast as much as we would like to. And certainly we know that other people don't have as much time to get involved. But I really feel like this is a moment where we need to support each other within the profession. So if you do have an insight or your experiences that you want to share with everyone else who listens to the podcast here, I'd love for you to get in touch with me for a chat, and we'll see if we can get a short recording session done to help out your fellow professionals. So I'll leave that one with you, and hopefully we'll see you again here on the Safety Podcast. Take care. Thank you once again for joining us for this episode. We really hope you got value from the content. If you'd like to provide us with some feedback, which we would obviously love, please take a minute to rate and review the podcast on whichever platform you're using. Also, if you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe to make sure you catch our future episodes. And of course, share it with anyone who you think may find it useful. For more free resources and to find out more about what we do, you're always welcome to visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care and good luck.